I have a story for you. A young boy enters a barber shop, and the barber whispers to his customer, "This is the dumbest kid in the whole world. Watch while I prove it to you." The barber puts a dollar bill in one hand and two quarters in the other. Then he calls the boy over and asks, "Which one do you want, son?" The boy takes the two quarters and leaves. Later, the customer leaves, and he sees the young boy coming out of an ice cream store. "Hey, son, can I ask you a question? Why did you take the two quarters instead of the dollar bill?" The boy licked his cone and replied, "Because the day I take the dollar, the game's over." This morning, I want you to take out three things. Your cell phone, a small piece of scrap paper, and your Bible. Now, I'm not going to ask you to choose between your cell phone and your Bible, so don't get concerned. It's not very often you get to have your cell phone out in church, so you better take advantage of it. What I want you to do first is when you get that scrap piece of paper out. Now, the scrap piece of paper can be anything. There's maybe a piece in the chair in front of you, or you can use part of your bulletin. It doesn't matter. But what I want you to do is pick a spot and write your birth date on that piece of paper. And next to your birth date, I want you to write the date that you were saved. Now, maybe you don't know that date exactly. Maybe you know how old you were. Maybe you have some memory as to that might go along with it. It's not important. Just jot something down that would serve as a reminder. When you get that down, I just want you to set that paper aside, but keep track of it. When I was getting ready for this morning, God was leading me in a direction, and He laid it on my heart that there would be three different types of people here, three different people groups. Those of you who are always here, but you haven't yet totally committed to serving God. Some of you who used to come to church, but you stopped for some reason or another. And those of you who are here because you were invited, and you haven't yet decided what you think of all this. I was asking God, how am I going to speak to all three groups and still keep things organized and bring it to a point? And luckily for me, He used my wife to show me how I was going to do that, because she threw out an idea and things just started to flow from there. I think it's awesome how God uses other Christians to give us direction. So you have your phone out. What I want you to do is hold it up so everyone can see. And as you do that, I want you to look around at all the different colors, shapes, sizes. You can get all sorts of different ringtones and apps for your phone. The cases come in all different colors and styles and shapes. It's crazy to see all the different accessories that you can get for a cell phone these days. Does anyone have one of those life-proof cases? I think those things are awesome. You can drop them 100 times and, get water on them, all sorts of different things, and they're fine. I've heard hundreds of stories about things that have happened to phones that had those life-proof cases, and they managed to survive. Now, you might think that I'm a goober for doing this, but I want to compare your cell phone to your relationship with God, to your spiritual condition. Do you know what God has to say about your cell phone? Nothing that I could find. But He did have something to say about you. Those of you who have put God's life-proof case in Jesus Christ on, those of you who are here all the time, but you haven't totally committed to serving God. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, if you want to turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us a very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Add to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, outwardly, we have our case in the latest and greatest color. We've decorated our phone with Jesus stickers and all the fancy decor. We even have some scripture or Christian quote on our screensaver. But as Christians, you know, we have our t-shirts with the cool saying or favorite scripture. We go to Sunday school, we bring our Bibles. We even open them when we're told. We have John 3:16 memorized and Romans Road highlighted in our Bibles. Might even use three different color highlighters. You're here every Sunday. We do a few things around the church. If needed, we could tell someone about Christ, you know, if the pastor wasn't around. From the outside, everything looks good. But when you move to the inside, it's a little different. Yeah, we have our Bible app and a few different resources downloaded, but that's not what we use. We spend all of our time on other things that are stored in our phone, like Bubble Witch or Candy Crush or some other fun spider monkey game, maybe Pinterest. God sees where we spend our time. Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 28:18-20. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, sometimes it's easy to slip into that comfortable lifestyle and forget that God has called us for a purpose. Jesus Christ isn't concerned with the image we project. He's concerned with the relationship that we have with Him. He wants us to be about His business. There are other phones that haven't been on the charger in a while. Battery's getting low, the light is dim. You may have turned the phone off because you keep getting the low battery notifications and you're tired of getting them? In order to keep your phone charged, you have to use the right cord. There are all sorts of different cords available, but only one style fits your phone. Other phones may have been stored in your pocket or purse, and you got pocket lint or cookie crumbs or some other unidentifiable substance all down in the charging port. You can't get it plugged in. You know what God has to say about your cell phone? Nothing that I could find. But He did have something to say about you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Galatians 6, 2 and 10. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Some of you are not involved, or you quit coming to church. You stopped serving Christ because you were getting those low battery notifications. It's time to plug back in. Power only comes from one source, and if you try to get it somewhere else, you don't get charged. You can't leave the charging port plugged either. If you do, that stuff starts to harden, and it's impossible to get out. Seems impossible anyway. You can't leave unconfessed sin in your life. It gets solidified and very difficult to remove. Listen to me. If something has come between you and God, it's time to clean it out and get yourself plugged back into the power source. Others, you've had your phone broken. Maybe you tried to fix it yourself. I tried to fix Austin's iPod once. He dropped it and busted the screen. And, you know, I watched a video online and I ordered all the parts and put that screen on myself. It never worked again. All I had to do was take it to somebody that knew what they were doing. But I thought I could fix it. And now it's totally useless. It's totally useless. You know what God has to say about your broken cell phone? Nothing that I could find. But He does have something to say about you. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. Someone in this church, maybe another church, may have done something to hurt you or offend you, and you've decided you're going to fix it yourself. You're done with church, and you're done with serving Christ. Maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was 40 years ago. I don't really know. But I want you to remember this. The battle that we fight is not with people. Amen. Remember who the real enemy is. Satan is the enemy. He would like nothing more than to keep you discouraged or mad. When that happens, you're no longer working for God, and He's rendered you ineffective. Remember who the real enemy is. Now stick with me, and I'm going to move on to the last group that God has a message for today. Maybe you're here, and you still have that old flip phone. You haven't trusted your provider to give you the new smartphone with a life-proof case. Now, most of us, we don't walk from one room to another in our house without taking our phone. It's true. You know it is. You take your phone everywhere, even to the bathroom. Somebody might have put a picture of their dog on Facebook or something fun like that, and you can't miss that. Anyone ever drop their phone in the toilet? What'd you do? You went in after it, didn't you? You didn't think about how many people had been there before you, even if it was a public restroom. I'll assure you, if you're one of the folks that just spent a grand on one of the new iPhone 6s, you put your hand in there. Some of you now have a mental image that is about to make you sick, and for that I say, you're welcome. I don't know if Jesus would be willing to stick his hand in the toilet for your cell phone. But I do know what his word says that he would be willing to do for you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now I want to define a few words here so that we're all on the same page. All, that means you, me, everyone in between, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin, if I could sum that up, it would be you wanting control of your life instead of giving it to God. Sin is where you sit in the driver's seat and you don't live up to God's standard. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now wages are our payment. Every 2 weeks I receive a payment from my employer, and that's what they have decided that I deserve for the work that I've done. Death, you may be saying, what, I just die and that's the end? You know, the wages of sin is death and it's over? I want to draw your attention to Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, death gives way to eternal torment and sorrow. An eternal separation is made between life with God and eternal punishment. But here's the good news. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9 through 13 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me sum this up for you. A man called Jesus of Nazareth walked this earth some 2,000 years ago. That man said he was God. We only have a few directions we can take that. The man was insane or on some wild 2,000-year-old hallucinogen. Or he was really God. If he was insane, that man deserves our pity. But if he was God, he deserves our worship and our service. He deserves to have total control of our lives. We read earlier that salvation is a gift of God. And a gift is something that you receive. You take it. If I pull out this $20 bill, I say, here's a gift for you. Take it. Now, if I was really doing that, you guys would be fighting to get up here, wouldn't you? But let me tell you, the gift that God is offering is so much more than a $20 bill. This morning, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He has his hand stretched out saying, I love you and I died for you. You have had control of your life for so long. How are you doing? Don't you think it's time you let me lead? Let me show you what I have for you. I am the power source. And the real question is, are you going to reach out and grab that gift? You see, it's simple. If God's calling out to you and you feel that tug on your heart, in just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come right down here. Get on your knees before God. You say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for me. And 3 days later, you rose again. You died so I didn't have to. Today, I want to accept that gift from you. I want to put you in control of my life. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and make me new. The Bible teaches that if you believe that with all your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Will you all stand with me? As you stand, I want you to pick up that little piece of paper that you were writing on earlier. The paper with the dates. And I want to ask, will this be the day that you get to write the second date on that paper? As you close your eyes and bow your heads, I want to talk to you for just a second. You're not here by chance. God brought you here for this message. Some of you are here because God is calling you out of your comfort zone. He's calling you to a greater service. Others, he wants to remind you that he didn't go anywhere, and if he feels distant, it's time to return to him. For those of you with the empty date on your scrap paper, God says today is the day for salvation. You can leave here today with October 5th written on that piece of paper. Now I'm going to pray, and when I finish, this altar is going to be open to you. The decisions that you're about to make are what will make this the most important Sunday ever. Don't let fear hold you back from a life-changing decision. There'll be plenty of people willing to pray with you. You can grab a friend if you need, but let God work in your life today. Father, I've done all that I know to remove myself and let your words be spoken through me. I know there are decisions being made today, and I thank you for that. As we open this altar, I ask that you continue to work in the hearts of all who are here, and that your will be done. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't let fear hold you back from a life-changing decision. This altar is open to you.